Ebenezer family and friends, it is so good to be back with you. If you're excited about Jesus, can you just scream hallelujah? Those quick typists in the chat, can you put hallelujah? The Lord has been so good to all of us. I just want you to be in prayer. Please continue to lift up our bereaved families, those families who are going through in this season and time, that God is faithful and He is a comforter. Also, need you to be praying just more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth, that God add to the body as He sees fit. I've just been looking at the news and there's so many people that are going through. I want to thank you for reading along with us with our Bible plan as we go through the Bible in a year. It has been exciting as we have are studying the Kings, and we're seeing some make it and some not. But we look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to thank you so much for staying connected on our Monday Manas. We have a lot of teachings and different preachings. Sometimes we have songs, so check that out. That's at 7 o'clock on our virtual connection. Then we have our Tuesday, noonday Bible study, where we're going through the book of Genesis. That has been really challenging, looking at Sodom and Gomorrah and Abraham and Sarah and that theophany, the angel of the Lord showing up. On Wednesdays, we're going through the book of Luke on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock and just studying the teachings of Christ and how we can compare them to ourselves as we're in this season and time. On Thursdays, we have our in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock right there in the sanctuary, and we invite you to come out. We're actually going through the book of 1 Corinthians, yes, 1 Corinthians, a letter of Paul the Apostle. And then, as always, continue to pray for our services on Sunday. We have our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock online, and then our 10:45 in-person service. Also, just want to give you an announcement for next Sunday. It is Father's Day. Yes, Father's Day. Quick typers, can you put Father's Day in the chat? Yes, it is coming quickly. We have some speakers on next Sunday. Our 8:45 service, we'll have Minister William Brown, one of our very own. He'll be speaking into our lives in that 8:45 in-person service. Then 10 o'clock online, we'll have Minister Curtis Hampton. You've seen him and his wife teach on Mondays, our marriage teaching. He's going to be giving us a word of encouragement to the fathers. And then our 10:45 service, we're going to have Minister Shannon Collins. On last year, he spoke for us, and I'm telling you, he blessed me. He had a word from the Lord just encouraging the Father. So we're looking for that in the 10:45 service. Also, I want to thank you for your giving. Whether you're giving in our in-person services, or you're using the app, or you're sending in our secure mailbox, we thank you. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves, you know, a cheerful giver. And I thank you. I want to thank you also on behalf of my family for all the love that you showed on Pastor Appreciation Day, my 24th anniversary. To the entire family, we send that to you, and all the prayers that you've sent to us. We thank you for all that you have done, you did, and you will do. Thank you. We are truly a body of Christ, and I'm blessed to be a part of Ebenezer in person and virtual. God is doing so many things. Well, I am ready. I am ready to get in the Word. We're going to deal with the finish line today. Yes, the finish line. And I have a word from the Lord. God's spoken to my heart. So I want you to be encouraged. I want us to prepare ourselves as we have a time of worship and just focusing on the Lord. And we'll see you soon.
Our scripture this morning will be coming from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. It says, for we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Amen. Amen.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days, you were held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. Fire. In darkest nights, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey, 'cause all my life, you have been faithful. Oh, yes, you have. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Running after me in the saints. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me. Your goodness is running. My life laid out, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, he's running after me. Ooh. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Oh, yes, you have. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing.
Aren't you glad that God has been so, so faithful? If you are, can you just give God a hand clap of praise, or just lift up your hands, put some emoticons, some excitement, that God has been so, so faithful to us. Well, I just want to go into a time of prayer as we just lean into the Lord that he can speak into our lives. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for allowing us to even come into your presence, Lord. Thank you for giving us this avenue of being able to reach one another through this virtual connection. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in this place. I pray that if there is anyone that's listening or looking in that doesn't know you, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we just love you. Thank you for being God and God alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we get back into this section, the Lord's just really been dealing my heart on this fulfillment of our calling. All of us have a calling on our lives. We're going to deal with where this calling starts from. We've been talking about that, but how do we walk through that? How do we make sure that we're on track with God's perfect will for our lives? I want to get back into that memory scripture that we've been reading aloud so that we can get it into our mind. It can seep into our heart. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and that 19th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19. If you don't mind reading it aloud with me. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Wow, isn't that a heavy scripture? We are not our own. Well, I want to get back into the book of Judges, chapter 16 specifically. I want us to focus in on that 21st verse. We're going to go back and talk more about Samson. Last time we were together about 2 weeks ago, I wasn't sure if the Lord was going to allow me to deal with this sermon today, but he impressed it on my heart. And I believe that this is a rhema, an on-time word for so many of you that need to hear this about the fulfillment of our calling. Judges 16:21. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, that's Samson, and brought him down to Gaza. That's the gate or stronghold. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. That Judges 16:21. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. I want to speak from a title subject today. How will you cross the finish line? How will you cross the finish line? This is a sobering lesson today as we think about Samson's life. On last time we were together, we were in Judges 13 and 24. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mananah Dan between Zorah and Eshtal, before you were even born, was our title. And so in that process, we learned before we were even born that God is doing something magnanimous in us and for us. Remember Manoah and his wife and that whole process. God blessed her. She hadn't had a child, but she was blessed with a child. And I just want to put at the end of this lesson, I'm going to try to remember to pull some. God continued to bless her. She had more children after Samson. Just some points in review from last time. We talked about that blessing with purpose. That's what Samson was. Train up a child. They were giving all these mandates to actually train Samson in the right way. Confirmation was given with that angel and the power of God and then the fulfillment. And so today we're going to deal with that fulfillment of the calling on Samson's life. Now, as we think about this whole process in time, 11,000 loosely BC, we pick up this story. in the book of Judges, known as Shaphatim, that literally talks about the leaders of the time, the judges, those that were in charge. Within this book of Judges, as we began to look at Samson's life, it is a roller coaster. Samson grows up. He is a mighty, powerful man. He does exploits. The Philistines are the arch enemies, and God has vowed that judgment must be brought on the Philistines simply because of the lifestyles that they were living, the atrocities that they had brought to the surrounding nations. But there was a problem. Samson continued to fall in love with the enemy. Yes, sleeping with the enemy, literally. He marries a Philistine woman. His parents are totally against it, but Samson said, "This is what I'm going to do." Some things went down. Samson gets upset. Samson leaves. While he leaves, his wife is given to another man. He comes back to get her. She's already been betrothed to someone else. He gets upset. Samson kills and brings judgment. And then after that, you think Samson would have learned his lesson. He actually falls in love with a prostitute. You know her name, Delilah. That whole process with that. And remember, Samson is not supposed to let anybody know the source of his power, which is his hair. But in the midst of a sultry night with Delilah, she continues to press him and press him until finally he gives up the source of his great power and energy, which is his hair. His hair is cut, and we pick up Judges 16 and 21. "Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison." Here's the first point, and I really want you to focus on this because I believe we have made choices, and I believe some may be on the verge of making some choices. And I want you to hear this point, and we're going to extrapolate it out. Your sins will find you out. Your sins will find you out. Some sins, the repercussion to those sins are immediate. You do it, and literally judgment comes down. But some sins you can do, and it takes some time. But remember, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So within Samson's case, you know, marrying that Philistine woman, and that was wrong, that was contrary to what God would have for his life, and then falling in love with the prostitute, and contrary to what God, it seemed that he was still prospering. He still had his strength. He was still respected because he was a judge for Israel, but yet that sin was still festering. Moses spoke to Israel in Numbers 32:23, "But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord." And look at that last part, "and be sure your sin will find you out." God has a whole bunch of grace. Can you put in the chat grace? If you're sitting, standing, just say grace. He has a whole bunch of grace. He will walk with us through the fire. He is there with us. But please understand, judgment has to come. He is actually about 40 miles from his birthplace at Zoar, where this judgment comes upon him, where his eyes have been taken out and the Philistines encapsulate. He failed on the lap of Delilah, but I would argue that the failure took place way before Delilah, way before his first wife. The failure took place when Samson stopped trusting the Lord. Samson deviating from his calling, some wrote, this is what happens to him. Sin binds him, blinds him, and grinds him. I tell you, somebody just say ouch out there. Sin binds him, blinds him, and grinds him. Judges 6:22, "How will you cross the finish line?" It reads, "However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven." Here's the next point. There is still hope. just lift up your hands. I just wave those hands. There is still hope. This is good to know as we're walking in, trying to fulfill our calling. We've all failed. We've all made mistakes. We've all sinned within our lives. And sometimes the enemy will hit us hard that we've gone too far, that there's too much baggage within our lives. I want you to know there is still hope. As always, the best way to not have to be at this point is to do and stay in God's will, to stay in that perfect will of the Lord. The contemporary English version of Romans 11:29, it reads, God doesn't take back the gifts he has given or forget about the people he has chosen. Somebody needs to hear that again. God doesn't take back the gifts he has given or forget about the people he has chosen. Contrary to what's going on right now and judgment is upon Samson, God has not forgot. That is such a good news from the foundations of the earth. Please understand, God had already given a calling to Samson. Please, before Manoah met his wife, God had already called and formed, in essence, Samson's life and what he would do before he was even placed in the womb. And I want you to know, God still has a plan for you. No matter where you are, no matter what the struggle, please embrace God's will for your life. I love this part within the scripture. It said that his hair was shaven, but it began to grow back. Remember, that is the source of the strength, the power, that symbol that God had chosen. And even though judgment is upon Samson, that strength begins to come back little by little. I'm talking about, how will you look when you cross that finish line? Judges 16:23. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon. Dagon was that fish and grain, a fertility god, and they would offer these things to this false god so that they could appease his nature. But please understand, he couldn't do anything because he had no power. Their god, and to rejoice, and they said, our god has delivered into our hands, here it is, our enemy. Judges 16:24, when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our god has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. Here's another point. God is still in charge. Yes, we've been dealing with this whole thought pattern that even though things are dark, Samson is where he put himself there. He literally walked right into this trap. He literally has come to this point of judgment. But even though the enemy has the upper hand, I want you to know God is still in charge. Can somebody quick on that chat put, God is still in charge. Even when we find ourselves right in the midst, in the center of the enemy's camp, I want you to know God can still work it out. God can still bring you out. Remember Joseph's proclamation when we taught on that a few Sundays ago out of Genesis 50:20, when his brothers had done all that they could do to stop his calling upon his life, throwing him into that pit. And then he was sold into slavery. And then years and years later, they have to come back. And then Joseph's dad passes away. That whole process, Genesis 50:20. But as for you, Joseph said, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. That's the good news, that in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. This encourages me, even in our mess ups, and I'm going to say that a lot with Samson, that God's will still can be done. That's good news. That never forget, God is still in charge. Remember Job, a righteous man, and the devil taunted God in a sense. And he said, you know what, if you just let me get my hands upon him, I'll make him curse you to your face. And we know the meetings in that process. Job loses everything except his wife. His flesh is all tattered with sores. And he comes with this proclamation. He says, though God slay me, yet will I praise him and I trust him. And this whole process of life, God has said, I am still in charge. No matter what the devil means for your harm, God can turn it for your good. He did it for Job. In this whole process of life, there ought to be some praise and worship and say, he did it for me also. It's interesting to note that the Philistines here within this scripture, they felt by having Samson grind that Samson was actually acknowledging the supremacy of Dagon. Remember, I told him he was the fertility, that grain god. And so they felt that they had the upper hand on Samson. Now, I want you to know, even though you're going through rough times, even though Samson is going through rough times, God can still use our rough times. I was reading a book by Tony Evans, and he had an illustration within that book. He talked about people going to a pizza parlor, and I in that pizza parlor, those real pizza parlors, you actually see them take the flour and the dough, and they began to press it out, and they began to turn it, they began to throw it up in the air, man, and doing all that. But in that process, when you go to the pizza parlor, you don't say, you know what, I just want the dough, I want that what you mashed, and I want that what you threw up in the air. We don't want just the dough. But Tony goes on, he brings out, he said, we want the good stuff, you know, we want the sauce on top of the dough, and we want the pepperoni and the vegetables and all of those things. We want the good stuff. And then he made that comparison to our lives. You know that God, to prepare us that we can bring forth good stuff, oftentimes he has to mash us, he has to pull us, he has to throw us up in the air so that we can be prepared to actually receive the good stuff in our lives. In this same process here, this is what God is doing in Samson's life. Yes, Samson could have submitted himself years and years before to that perfect will of God, but God was still molding him and shaping him. And even in this dark time, let me show you Judges 16:25. So what happened? When their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Here's a point. Please get this one. Who are you performing for? Yes. Who are you performing for? If you got somebody beside you right now, could you ask them that question? They don't have to answer it. Just say, neighbor, who are you performing for? If you all by yourself, just say, self, who am I performing for? I want you to really grasp this thought here as we're looking at this scripture. We are performing for somebody. Yes, our every day of our life, we are performing. And you say, Pastor, I'm not performing for you. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. In your life, you're walking out something. It is either lifting up God, lifting up yourself, lifting up the devil. We are performing for somebody. Sadly, many of our callings have actually been commandeered by the devil, and we're actually performing for him. Yes, we're performing for the world and not God. And as we look at Samson, he is literally in this position, and the Philistines are over him, and he's performing for these people. A prominent author, Timothy Keller, he writes in his book, Connecting Your Work to God's Plan for the World. He writes this. Listen to this. A job is a vocation only if someone else calls you to do it for them rather than for yourself. And so our work can be a calling only if it is reimagined as a mission of service to something beyond merely our own interests. Thinking of work mainly as means of self-fulfillment and self-realization slowly crushes a person. Yes, we've got to realize, we've got to grasp, as we are Christians of the Most High God, everything in our lives are supposed to be submitted to the Lord. Even our jobs, the things that we do in our day, we're supposed to submit to him. And we've got to ask ourselves, who am I performing for? I'm talking about fulfilling our calling. And what are we going to look like when we cross that finish line? This performance can be dealt with. I'm realizing more people are caught up in the habit of using using drugs, and I'm seeing lives transformed. They're performing for the devil. I'm seeing promiscuous lifestyles where people are being transformed because they're allowing the lust of their flesh, the desires of their mind to overtake the will of God, to fulfill the plan of God in their life. They are going the opposite direction. I'm telling you, they're performing for the enemy. I'm seeing that the enemy wants to make sport of us all. The enemy wants us all to do exactly what he would have us to do. Therefore, he is trying to blind us. 2 Timothy 2:26 talks about this, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. But I don't want you to forget this part. Judges 16:25. So they call for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. Here it is. And they stationed him between the pillars. Even when the enemy thinks he has us, God is up to something. There ought to be some shouts of praise right now. I want you to know, at your lowest point, when you feel that God has walked away from you, he is close to you. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. How are you going to look when you cross that finish line? Please understand, God still has a calling upon your life, a calling upon my life. And no matter what the devil wants to do, no matter what he tries to do, no matter how much we trip up, we've got to continue to reach out and trust who the Lord is, because he is a powerful God. Look at Judges 16:26. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple." He's like, "You just put me in between. I wanna reach out and I wanna touch that pillar." And he says, "Which support the temple, so that I can lean on them." And now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were about, here it is, 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. And so that Colosseum of a sort was built up, and there are actually many. I went to Greece and I've seen some of those Colosseums, how they can fall in, but they had people on the roof and on the side, and they could actually look into about 3,000 people that got there because they wanted to see Samson perform. They wanted to see this mighty man that was used of God in his humiliation. Some theologians and historians of that time believe that he was stripped down naked. He had no eyes, and now he's grinding and performing before them. Judges 16:28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." Here's the point. One more time. Yes, one more time. I want you to know, please hear me. No matter how much time that you've lost, if you can just get in the will of God, God can do exceedingly abundantly above what you dare ask or think. I don't care where you are in your life. I said that earlier. I don't care how jacked up your life is right now. If you can submit yourself to the Lord, if you can reach out to him, I'm telling you, your calling will be fulfilled. Please, from the Hebrew text here, as he calls out to the Lord in the prayer, there's something special that's happening here. He says, "Oh Lord God." Now this is critical. We can't see it within our text, but in the Hebrew text, he actually calls on God in three ways. The title Adonai and Yahweh and Elohim. He calls on him. Somebody with me? That Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, "Adonai, Yahweh, Elohim. I'm broken now. I can't see with my eyes, but I'm between these pillars and I'm lean. I got a lad that's over me. I was strong at once, but God, I realized it really wasn't just about my hair. It was about the power of you, and I had depended on my own self, but now God, I want you to use me one more time." Can you scream out one more time? Put it in the chat. One more time. Please. When we're going through struggles in our lives, when we're going through pressure times, we learn how to pray. Are there any amens out there? I'm telling you, when you get a bad diagnosis, you learn how to pray. When you get a call and something happened to your family, and you learn how to pray. When you're going through, when you got an ache in your body, you learn how to pray. Please understand, when your money gets funny, you learn how to pray. When you're almost losing your car, losing your house, you learn how to pray. Dr. Henson writes of the significance of the moment. Listen to this. The humiliating consequences of Samson's sin must certainly have caused him to do some serious thinking and had probably moved him to repentance. The very fact that he prayed to the Lord gives some evidence of his spirituality. This is, hear me please on this, this is the only recorded prayer of Samson that we have in scripture. Can you put only in the chat? Just scream out only. This is the only recorded prayer in all of those exploits, in all of those mighty things that Samson did. We never heard him pray, but now in the dark point, now at the end of his life, now as he's getting ready to cross that finish line, we hear him pray. I wish somebody out there would just pray and say, God, I need you. God, I need you to show up in my life, no matter how much time you wasted. Please understand, God can use you. God can still fulfill a big plan within your life. No matter how old you are, God can still use you. One more time, God can use you. Chinese proverb says it like this: if you get up one more time than you fall, you will make it through. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Just get up one more time than you fall, you're gonna make it through. I'm talking about, how will you look when you cross that finish line? Judges 16:29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Now this last point, please get it. Sacrifice. Yes, sacrifice. Can you put it in the chat? Sacrifice. Just say sacrifice. To fulfill your calling is to sacrifice. Now, as we look at Samson, literally his body is given as a sacrifice to fulfill that calling. Romans 12:1 brings it to a level that we can apply to our lives. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God says to us, he said, I want you all. I want 100% of you. And so often we want to do it our way, but in order for your calling to be fulfilled the way God would have it to be fulfilled, he wants us to give in to him. Samson, please, he gets to this point at the last moment. He's wasted much of his life, but God said, you know what? I'm still going to get you across that finish line. I had that calling in you before you were even born. And no matter what you did, no matter how crazy you got, I still had my hand upon you. I knew that you were going to cry out to me. You were going to pray unto me. Theologian McDonald writes of this scene and how we may cross the finish line. Listen to this. The melancholy record is that Samson killed more in his death than he had killed in his life. Because he consorted with the Philistines so often in his life and found their women irresistible, Samson is now found with the Philistines in his death, a corpse among corpses in the rubble of Dagon's temple. Separation would have earned for him a nobler death. Sanctification. Here we are taught a sober lesson, one we should not take lightly. Please hear this. Loss of separation, sanctification leads to loss of power and eventual ruin.
I want to read that section to you again. Loss of separation or sanctification leads to a loss of power and eventual ruin. To yield our members to sin is to pursue self-destruction. Yes, it's a sad scene, but God's plan is still fulfilled. Samson crosses that finish line in his death, and he does fulfill the calling that was placed on his life, but it's in a terrible way. They bury Samson in the hill country overlooking the valley of Sorek. The very scene, please understand, of his greatest triumphs and greatest victories. There he is buried. I got a word for you. Some of you think that you're in the prime of your life and you're making your choices. You're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to live your life. But I want you to know you can be closer to death than you realize. I'm telling you, none of us know the day nor the hour. I've been teaching on revelations and teaching on the fact that Christ can come back at any time. We need to stay vigilant. We need to press through and realize that it's all about how we're going to cross that finish line. Well, as we conclude today, I can say so much about Samson, but I want you to know there was a greater one than Samson. You know his name is Jesus. I'm glad about that. That Jesus came from heaven to earth so that we could see how to cross the finish line. What should it look like? You know, Samson, he crossed the finish line with his eyes out and the pillars falling on him, but yet he brought judgment on the Philistines. Samson killed 3,000 after having a lad take him to the pillars of the Philistine part, and he pushes down. But Jesus fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. There ought to be some hallelujah. Samson lost his eyes because of the sin and the judgment that was brought upon him. But Jesus was able to restore sight to the blind. That there ought to be some shouts of praise. I could give you example after example of how Christ compares to Samson. But Samson sacrificed his life in a point of judgment between those two pillars. But Jesus goes to the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you, he is actually crucified on that cross between two thieves. And in the midst of them, one of them came to himself and said, "When you come into your kingdom, will you remember me?" But aren't you glad for Jesus? Samson's death brought 3,000 plus enemies of God down. But I'm so glad that Jesus' death, it saved billions upon billions that would trust in the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. John 3:16 says it like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." There ought to be some shouts of praise. That's why I've determined to hold on to Christ and not let go. There ought to be some saints that I'm going to hold on. I've been tempted to go the wrong way, but I got to fulfill this calling God has on the inside of me. I want to cross that finish line in a spectacular way and hear God say, "Well done." Please understand, Buddha and Krishna and Dagon, or even Daddy Grace, they weren't willing to die for me, but I'm so glad for a Savior. I'm so glad for Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but the end of the story is 3 days later he gets up with all power and glory. Samson was not going to get up, but Christ got up. He rolled the stone away. He goes forth and lets everyone know that he is alive and well, and then he ascends up to the Father, and now he's praying for us. I'm telling you, how will you look when you cross the finish line? Saints of God, these are serious times. I am seeing that the house of God is under attack. The people of God are under attack. The enemy is stepping up his arsenal. He's trying to do all he can do to blind as many as he can to try to keep us from our calling. But saints of God, please, what God has for us, it is for us. I don't want you to get down. I don't want you to get subdued. Please know that God is still working in you in spite of the bruises, in spite of the pains, in spite of the depression, in spite of the hurts. Remember that though. God is getting you ready for the good stuff. Man, if it has to take place, in the last hour of your life, if it has to take place in the last seconds of your life, God is mending you. He's throwing you up in the air. He's taking you through. He's getting you to the point that you will finally cry out and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? God, use me for your glory. To those who don't know, my God, through Jesus Christ today, I pray that you make that decision to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and the scriptures are clear, you will be saved. Yes, it's more than just using those exact words, but it's about relationship. It's deciding, God, I want to hug you. I want you in my life. I want to follow you. God, I want your plan that was founded in me before the foundations of the earth. I want it to be fulfilled. When I cross that finish line, God, I want you to be pleased with me. Man, if you ask him into your heart right where you are, he'll come. And I encourage you to get connected to a fellowship that you can continue to grow. To the saints that are out there, you have a calling on your life. God has allowed us to stay here because of our calling. Yes, yes. He wants more souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. And when you walk in your calling, when you start to realize your whole life is about what God has called you to do, it's really not about you. It's about God's calling. When you realize that, then you're going to have a greater impact that souls are going to be saved. Come to the knowledge of the truth. You're going to feel God's peace that goes beyond all understanding. You'll start to realize it's not in the stuff. Thank God for the things that he's blessed, but it's not in the stuff. It's about knowing that we're in God's will. Jesus did his ministry within 3 years, and it turned the world upside down. He took the disciples that were literally, they were going the wrong way and vagabonds. They just were making wrong decisions. He took them, these 12, and he molded them. And even in that molding process, one of them was a devil. But God still poured himself into these men in 3 years. So much after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the men that were left, the 11, they were willing to die for him. It's recorded that John seems to be the only one that actually had a natural death. And many theologians, historians of that time believe that they tried to boil him. God just was not finished with him. Revelations had to come. Yes, the revelation of God had to be told. And so no matter what the enemy means for our harm, God can change it for our good. I encourage you, it's time. We've got to embrace the Lord that his calling can be fulfilled in us. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you for invigorating us as saints of God to know you and to repent. Lord, if we've gone astray and we find ourselves in situations, let us cry out to you, even as Samson cried out to you at his last moments, and you showed up in an amazing, mighty way. Oh God, help us to cry out to you today. Help us, Lord, not to allow it to go to the point of losing our eyes, being broken and busted and disgusted, but to repent today. And you said that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, I thank you that you're saving souls even now, and you're adding it to them to the body of Christ, that your plan can be fulfilled. Lord, that when we cross that finish line, we can hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wondered how I made it here. Looked around, the coast was clear. I made it through another tragedy. I'm not even worth a second glance, but you're the God of second chances. You're the one that always pulls me through.
All right.
I stand and recognize my King. That's why I sing, Jesus, you are my only refuge during these times.
I stretch out my hand. You grab hold and you won't let go. You draw me close. You draw me close. At times it's hard for me to see all the things you do for me. My selfish needs begin to block my view. But still you're always here for me. You cleared the path so I can see. It's you I need to fix my eyes onto. For you are God and God alone, up on the throne. Jesus, you are my only refuge during these times. You are my light. I stretch out my hand. You grab hold and you won't let go.